It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Somebody's coming up. Somebody serious.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I like this kind of moments.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your host, Granada Wendy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Natural Healthy Connections with Cowgirl Nikki and myself, Wendy. We're also joined today by Cousin Bob and possibly Nick if he's around. Okay, we're going to have some fun today. A lot of stuff going on, and I just want to say a couple of real quick things. By the way, this is Revolution Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. If you'd like to go to the homepage, a live equivalent to a cup of coffee, we appreciate it too, to keep the paid programming on the air. We thank you so much. And if you can leave a little bit bigger donation, that's great too. All right. We also want to thank everybody for Happy Thanksgiving this Thursday, because today is only Tuesday, and today is the 24th, and we thank you so much for all that. Okay, so I've got a guest at 10. I got Greg Coonan coming on from Olalola. That'll be great. I need to order some stuff, so that'll be great. So Olalola, and that's drinkyourvitamins.com, drinkyourvitamins.com, and for Greg. He's coming on at 10. We're going to play a really great, important thing we want you to hear and listen to. We're going to play a thing, but I just want to real quick, for Olalola, that's Olalola, drinkyourvitamins.com. Their phone number is 1-800-800-9550. 1-800-800-9550. I'll give that out to a 10, so no problem. We want to play something for you. It's very important that you hear this. This is some latest information, I believe, on COVID. So, Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
I am.
What's the name of the guy we're listening to?
Okay. It's the Kirsten W. Show. And it's with an interview with top doctor Scott Barbour, B-A-R-B-O-U-R. So I'm going to start. I think I'm all hooked up where she introduces him. And, I mean, it could be long. And if it starts getting – let me just do it and let you start listening.
Let's just play because I'm sure it's going to be good. With anything by Christian W., boy, that woman is hot to trot. So
sneak and remove myself. Okay, Dr. Scott, you can talk about whatever. Okay, and before he speaks, I have to say this, that basically we're back to this. Let me change it to this. So we're basically back to, you know, we have to say that I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to impersonate a doctor. We've had Dr. Stellick on a couple times, and their video got taken off immediately. So this is my friend, Dr. Scott Barber. He wants to – we've gone through all the stuff that's going on in Georgia right now, all the fraud. We went through all of the fraud in Cobb County and in Rome, Georgia, and what – and of course, yesterday we covered the fact that your governor is taking bribes from basically Dominion, which is owned by Smartmatic, Sisal, and also from China. So he's very corrupt. And we went through all of Ms. Mullen's videos and everything. So I'm going to let you speak for a minute and take over, because I'm going to remove myself, and you can give them what you think about the math and everything. He's an actual doctor. I'm not one. So he can tell you what he thinks about the math, if they're effective, and what he thinks about the COVID at the 47.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, I'm taking myself off. There you go.
I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about what's going on with COVID. And I would just say to your listeners that I am speaking as a trained physician who's been working on the front lines throughout this entire pandemic. We have a large practice with about 150 employees and five or six locations. We've been virtually open the entire time. Of patients. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of patient interactions and hundreds of surgeries from multiple surgeons. And throughout the entire time, we've yet to have a single hospital admission or death as a result of COVID. Now, every time a patient or a staff member has gotten sick, we've treated them with hydroxychloroquine and zinc, which based on my of the available literature, a lot of it has been out there for many, many years, has been safe and effective. And we've not had a single hospital admission or a single death. Now, this has gotten to the point now where the CDC has put out their own estimates of what the mortality rate is, and they're commensurate with what we see with the typical flu, which begs the question, why are we treating this thing so differently? Another thing is most people who aren't medical doctors probably don't realize that masks are something that we think about and talk about all the time. I can remember reviewing literature and research on masks when I first got into medical school. As a surgeon, I wear a mask every week when I operate, and in other circumstances, I get the question a lot, you know, why am I frowning on masks when I'm a surgeon and I use masks in the operating room? And my answer is I wear masks in the operating room for a variety of different reasons, none of which include limiting the transmission of respiratory viruses like influenza or COVID. Masks are largely done by tradition. It's to protect the, in surgery is what I'm talking about, it's done to protect the doctor from getting splatter on their face. And of course, we don't want to spittle in the wound. But the idea that somehow a mask or a cloth mask is preventing viral particles from passing through is ridiculous, and we know it has been. And more importantly, the medical community understood that masks were probably ineffective. And I say probably because it's a very difficult thing to prove a negative, but most of the research out there tends to conclude that masks of any kind are ineffective at preventing the transmission of influenza-like viruses. Now, there can be some argument about a particular kind of mask called an N95 mask, which may or may not prevent transmission, but those masks have to be fitted, they have to be clean, they have to be worn appropriately, meaning they have to fit your face, they need to be worn at the right time. And even then, the literature is not conclusive as to whether or not they're effective. When we're talking about cloth masks or these paper masks and, you know, what most people are wearing out there, there's absolutely nothing to suggest that that works. And now we're actually seeing evidence. And I'll tell you, I talked about this 6 months ago. We're starting to see evidence that there's an increase in bacterial pneumonias as a result of people wearing these dirty masks. And just the way politics has infected our management of COVID, I can see how these policies are driven by politics and not by science. Now,
can you guys hear?
Totally. Yes. This is fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. And this guy, let me see how much. We're at 33, almost 34 minutes. It's an hour and 11. Boy, it's, well, let me just go on. And if it starts getting boring, in my opinion, I'll
No, it's good right now. It's good. It's good,
okay.
Bob. Keep playing.
As I was saying earlier, we have a large practice, and when COVID first came around, I was very interested, obviously, at keeping myself informed as to what was going on with this pandemic. And so through my social media, through my communication with other doctors worldwide, by email chain and by text chain, we started sharing information, and it became obvious early on that this was a coronavirus. And I started noticing early on, before I was suspicious about any politics infecting our care, they kept calling it the novel coronavirus. And I kept saying, why do you keep calling it novel? It's almost like you're trying to scare us by saying it's something mysterious. When coronaviruses are well known to the medical community, I studied coronavirus 28 years ago when I was in medical school. I know it's one of the many viruses that cause the what we refer to in medicine as influenza-like illnesses, which include, influenza, coronavirus, paramyxovirus, rhinovirus, and other viruses that cause the common flu season. Now, typically, we only test for influenza because it's the only virus that we had a vaccine for. And by the way, that influenza vaccine is effective between 4% and like 60% at best. So it's not even a magic bullet for influenza, but it's the only one that we ever tested for. I know many of you have probably had the experience where you went to the doctor or you went to CVS to get a flu test and it came back negative and you thought to yourself, man, I really feel like I have the flu. And you probably did. It was probably coronavirus or paramyxovirus or something other than influenza. Another thing that's important to note is that most of the time, actually, I should say about 50% of the time when you're infected with a flu, you also have another virus. There's two of them. So when you're infected with influenza, you can also have coronavirus, or if you have paramyxovirus, you could also have coronavirus or an influenza virus. This is very common. And suddenly in 2020, we've just attributed every single illness to coronavirus. And I know this to be true because when you look at the statistical numbers of the number of people that are suffering from flu, they've completely disappeared. And that begs the question, are you taking people that we commonly used to say had influenza and just calling it coronavirus now? Because the standards for being able to make a diagnosis of coronavirus is so small. It's so ridiculous. It's just a suspicion. It doesn't even have to be the main cause of the illness or the admission. And because they incentivize hospitals with 100% reimbursement with no copays from the patient, of course, you're incentivizing hospital systems to make the diagnosis of COVID, and of course they are. Now, the biggest issue here is early in this pandemic, when I was following it day by day, I'd get up every morning, I would look at the available data on Worldometer because I wanted to know who is this infecting, meaning we know that respiratory illnesses from season to season change commonly. That's why we always get a new vaccine for the next year of flu season. And the different viruses attack the population differently. Some viruses tend to attack old people. Some tend to attack young people. Some get people in the middle. Some get everybody. And I wanted to know who is being targeted by this. And it was obvious to me in the very first month of the pandemic, around maybe even as early as late February, early March, I was like, okay, by looking at the numbers coming out of Italy and the numbers coming out of South Korea, I was like, okay, this virus is clearly going after people in their 70s. And it looks like almost all of them have comorbid conditions. So other people who were not 70 with comorbid conditions seem to be very immune to this thing. The other thing that caught my eye right off the bat that let me know something strange was going on was the CDC and the World Health Organization came out with this 3.4% mortality. And I thought to myself, what are you guys talking about? You're only counting the people that we know about in the hospital that are deathly ill, and you're trying to scare the world, and it was effective. Why would you do that when you know there are a ton of people who are infected with this virus who aren't being counted in the denominator and making that 3.4% number extremely high? And we've seen now that it's come down to mortality rates more commensurate with the flu. But have you seen any media go out there to let the public know that, hey, when we were talking about that 3.4%, we were mistaken and actually it's very low? No, you haven't heard that. And the question is why? Why would you not let the world know that the risk from this COVID is very similar to what we're used to seeing with other illnesses? More importantly, we look at our young children. They are literally as bulletproof as you can imagine. And, you know, there'll be somebody out, well, I know a kid. No, you don't. You can't show me a child with no comorbid conditions that has died of influenza because I can't. They have done the studies that they have done, the good studies that they have done in Sweden, Germany, Brazil, and other places show that school-age children are about as bulletproof from hospital admission and dying. That's what I'm talking about, getting sick enough to be admitted to the hospital or dying from this, that they had zero cases. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, in this political world where everybody is trying to make COVID seem as bad as possible, this is the best possible news we can hope for. And so you have our children that are being kept out of school, and they are literally 5 times safer from COVID than they are from a typical influenza. This is really frustrating to me. And it tells me that there is significant corruption going on, and people can come up with their own assessments as to why there's a politicization of the COVID pandemic, but there 100% is, and there's more. Again, I am following these numbers as a physician who's trying to protect my patients and protect my practice on a daily basis, counting the numbers myself. Another thing. As a physician in a big city, I have access to the inside numbers of who's being evaluated, and I could see with my own eyes that hospital systems are taking people that are really being admitted for other reasons, and they're assigning it as COVID, when it's clearly a secondary issue, if an issue at all. And so I could see that these numbers were being mischaracterized. One of the worst examples of politicization that I've seen was when right around the time that a lot of these red state governors were opening up their states and getting rid of lockdowns and being less aggressive about masking corresponded to when a lot of these blue state governors were emphasizing lockdowns and masks. And they came out with these so-called spikes in July. And they, you know, in these red states, Arizona, Georgia, Texas, they reported it on CNN and on MSNBC and on ABC and NBC. They kept going around, spike of death, spike of death, spike of death in July. And what we found out was that the people who count the deaths were taking people who died in April and adding them to the July numbers to make it appear as if there was a spike in these red states. And, you know, one could only make the inference that they were trying to do it to create the illusion that these red state governors were experiencing a spike in death because they were not implementing masks and lockdowns. I'm telling you this as an educated citizen who is following this day by day and going, what are you guys doing? And then the coup de grace for me was the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet came out with studies in late April, early May. Actually, it was May, June, late May, early June, suggesting that hydroxychloroquine was not only ineffective at treating COVID-19, but that it was dangerous and causing cardiac disease. And I had been studying hydroxychloroquine now for many months, and I knew that was a lie. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, they're providing these studies, and I just can't believe them because it flies in the face of everything I've researched. And then 2 weeks after publication, the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet had to retract their studies because they got caught using fake, phony data. Are you hearing me? They didn't have poor data or weak data. It was made up. It was fake. And they used it to create this illusion that hydroxychloroquine was deadly. Not just ineffective, but deadly. Now, listen, the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet are the number one and two medical journals in the world. And there's no way that this got through their peer review process unless they were in on it. And so now I'm skeptical of any research that I read right now because it's so infected with politics. There's a company called Surgisphere came into being right after President Trump suggested that hydroxychloroquine may be effective. And they produced this phony data. And the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet retracted these stories when they got caught by doctors like myself who called them out, who said the data that you're providing is ridiculous and it's unverifiable and it can't possibly be true. And they admitted, yes, there was no data. And so they retracted these studies. Now, based on these studies, though, you had the World Health Organization suspend all further research on hydroxychloroquine. The FDA eliminated its emergency use authorization of hydroxychloroquine, making it difficult for doctors like me to treat our patients using this drug that's been FDA approved for 65 years. 65 years of prescribing this drug to young people, old people, regular people, pregnant women, never an issue. And then suddenly in 2020, it's like the most dangerous medicine in the world. This just flies in the face of any logic. And I'm here screaming at the top of my lungs, ladies and gentlemen, the emperor has no clothes. Why are you believing anything coming out of this place? They lied about the most basic medicine. Literally, hydroxychloroquine is one of the safest medications on planet Earth, and they tried to make it out like it was dangerous. Now, listen, this is no laughing matter. Doctors still are unaware that the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet published these fake phony studies. I talk to my colleagues all the time, and they're like, wow, that's shocking. I can't imagine that happened. Why is this not the biggest study, the biggest story in the world? That the New England, we can't trust our institutions. Our medical journals have been corrupted by this politics. The number counting has been corrupted. The CDC and the World Health Organization have been making statements about masks, about medicines, about practices and other things that are just not true. I'm an educated doctor. I'm following this up. Listen.
Okay. There's, I think, about 25 minutes. I'm wondering if maybe we could play the last 25 minutes next week, if you want to do that.
Yeah, what time is it? What time is it?
What do you mean, what time is it
now? How much time do we have left in the hour?
Well, it's 9:25. Well, it would almost work out.
Why don't we play? It's fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic stuff he came up with, Bob. Boy, a 10. Shoots and scores.
Well, here's the deal. You know me. My whole life has been, I don't want to say reduced, because I'm blessed. I feel very blessed to have the technology and the time and the information and the, you know, the wherewithal to just be. I mean, we were up, what, 3 to 3:30 in the morning? It's just that this is my whole life. And, I'm coming around. There's so many great people. There's Kirsten W. There's Michael Jacob. I mean, this stuff that's coming out now, it's exploding. It's just like Sidney Powell said, it comes out like a fire hose. There is so much stuff now. And the whole thing comes down to there's just two types of people. One that's basically want love and hope, and the other one is hate and fear. And that's it. It's zeros and ones, baby. Which one are you going to be?
I am.
People trying to raise their... Okay, but anyways, I'll shut up and we'll get back to it. Hold on. Let me do
my... It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Okay, we got more to go.
What'd you say, Nikki? What'd you say?
He said suggesting anything to you that's my book.
I didn't do a study. I didn't do it. All I'm telling you is there's stuff out there and written for decades and decades that's available for anybody to read. And if you're educated in medicine, you can figure it out. Masks don't work. Cloth masks don't work. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make anybody feel bad. I don't want to, cause any anxiety to anybody, but they just scientifically are ineffective at preventing the transmission of influenza-like diseases. And listen, we know it too, don't we? Who goes to a restaurant, puts a mask on when they walk to the table, takes the mask off, and then eats? Then if they want to go to the bathroom, they put the mask on, they walk to the bathroom, come back to the table, they take the mask off, and they eat some more. And then they get up to leave, and they put the mask on till they get to the door, and then they immediately take the mask off. This is so ridiculous, people. I'm sorry. I'm tired of pretending like I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. And I know more people than are rational out there. It's not just me. This has gotten out of hand. And now we're starting to see the tyranny of it all. If you look at what's going on in Australia right now, they literally have a Gestapo out there It's stopping people in the streets. They're not allowed to leave their houses. They're not allowed to go to the gym. You know, they're not allowed to do anything. They don't have their proper papers. They're being arrested on the street. This is ridiculous. We see what's going on in Germany, and they're trying to do the same thing here. And we need more medical professionals and more people to speak up and say, stop it already. But the problem is the government has got too much control of our medical profession. Most doctors, 53% of doctors at this point are employed. They can't speak out because the hospital system will say, listen, we don't want you to use hydroxychloroquine, so we're not going to allow it. And if you bring it up, we're going to fire you or we're going to threaten you. And what are they making that assertion based on? It's based on those two fake phony studies in the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet. When the American frontline doctors went up to D.C. to alert the world that, listen, there's research out there that shows that hydroxychloroquine may be effective, to give you real data on what's going on, not ours, the CDC's data about mortality. Just let you know, Big Tech censored us and eliminated us because we had 18 million live viewers. Why did they do that? What did they say? Well, they cited the fake phony studies in the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, suggesting that we were going against science. Listen, people out there now that are burning books, they're banning speech. This is what we have seen throughout history. That's totalitarianism, and we need to recognize it right now and say no more. We got these government officials with no force of law behind them shutting down businesses, driving people into bankruptcy. The data right now is legion about people who are suffering medical conditions other than COVID, and they're not able to get treated because of these ridiculous lockdowns that we have in these hospitals. Every time I have to go to the hospital, this craziness of wearing masks and this craziness of testing. Here's another thing. Why do they keep talking about cases? Because they know there aren't enough deaths and hospitalizations of COVID to scare anybody. So they're going to new cases. So anybody who gets tested and is a positive case, you know, they can spread that around the world, even though the person is more likely than not to be asymptomatic. And in fact, we have actual data out there right now that shows the supermajority of people who become infected with COVID-19 are either asymptomatic or so minimally symptomatic that they don't even know that they're sick. This data has been known for a long time, but then I had to hear that the mortality rate was 3.4% by the World Health Organization. Come on now. This is just flies in the face of common sense. And here I am now, more than a year, well, whatever, coming up a year of this, and I still have yet to see a death or hospitalization with my own eyes. What is that time? Now, listen, I'm not saying there's nothing going on there. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this COVID-19 is not deadly to people who are susceptible, people in their 70s with comorbid conditions. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the threat is similar to other threats that we've experienced in our life, like a typical influenza, but we're behaving very, very differently about it. And it's just, I feel like if I don't say something about it, who will? And I'm not the only one out there. Listen, there are lots of doctors who feel exactly like I do. A lot of these doctors who practice in blue states are absolutely terrified about losing their licenses and losing their jobs if they even say the word hydroxychloroquine, so they avoid it. You might ask yourself, why are they so against hydroxychloroquine? Well, just imagine you're out in your community and you say you don't feel very well. You call your doctor and say, I'm feeling like I got a little bit of the flu, like they've done to me a lot of times. I call them in some hydroxychloroquine, some zinc, and then they get better and they never have to go to the hospital. They never get to be counted as another case, and they get better. And this is not what the political winds want right now. They want numbers. Also, we got other drugs out there, right? We all know about remdesivir, which for all of the flaws that they say are happening with hydroxychloroquine about no research and everything like that, well, remdesivir has one dubious study that doesn't even show a decrease in mortality. It shows a decrease in the hospital stay. It's slight. And they changed the goal of the study mid-study when they saw that it was not going to show a decrease in mortality and changed it mid-study to be just a decrease in hospital stay. Now, this is not science. This is a no-no. You're not allowed to do that when you're doing scientific research. But yet, this one study has the government purchasing with our tax money all the available stores of remdesivir at the cost of $3,120 for a 5-day dose. People, this is the United States of America. We are free people. We are smart people. And listen, you don't have to believe me, but you should be able to at least listen to me. I'm not saying anything crazy. I am simply citing to you the research that I myself read over the last several months that's been published for decades in peer-reviewed journals. That's all I'm doing. I'm also sharing with you my experience. Listen, I've had people test positive for COVID, even people who were in high-risk categories, meaning 70 with comorbid conditions. I've treated every single patient with hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and every single person has gotten better. Now, is that proof? No, it isn't. But you combine my experience with the available data that it's out there, and it makes it highly suggestive that it is effective. And there are lots of good studies. Despite what you've heard in the media, there are lots of good studies to support that hydroxychloroquine and zinc is effective at the prevention and treatment of COVID-19 when given early. That's the other thing. Why is every test that gets, or every study that gets reported in the media always on late stage when people are super sick? When we know full well that's not when it's effective. Because they're trying to convince you that this medication isn't effective. They're trying to convince you that there's a big boogeyman out there that we all need to be hiding under our bed and submit to these lockdowns and masks. And listen, I know how powerful this is. This is sort of a little bit off topic, but I was scared just like everybody else. When I heard what was going on in China, I remember looking at some stuff on my Facebook and social media, and I remember thinking to myself, this almost looks staged. Some of these emergency rooms in China with the body bags everywhere, I was like, this is a little over the top. And I'm wondering, I remember having a thought in my head, I wonder if China is doing that on purpose to try and scare the rest of the world that you have this big bad boogeyman coming out. So I studied this. I mean, I was like, I tell people all the time, if I have patients dying and things like that, it's not good for business. So I had a vested interest in making sure I was going to protect my family, my kids, myself, my wife, my staff, my patients. And that's what I did. I used available information available to anybody. I made my own educated decisions based on years of medical training and experience. And everything worked out the way I expected. Now, because I'm an educated person and I knew what I was dealing with, the more I gathered, the more calm I got. The more I was like, okay, this is not something crazy. This is not out of the realm of normal. But you know who wasn't getting that feeling? My wife. And several months into this, she absolutely freaked out. And I remember looking at her like, what is wrong with you? And she's, we're all going to die of COVID. And I'm like, we're not all going to die. In fact, hardly any of us are going to die of this thing. What are you so afraid of? And we started talking about this stuff. And I remember she asked me, well, what about your politics? Maybe your politics are affecting the way you're interpreting the data. And I looked at her and I said, I didn't publish fake data in the New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet. I mean, you know who I am. I'm not fabricating. I don't have a vested interest in how this thing works out. I'm just looking for the truth. And what I'm sharing with you is the truth. The mortality rate posted by the World Health Organization and the CDC is commensurate with other flus that we've experienced. And masks don't work. That's the data. I mean, I always challenge people, go and study masks, but don't take anything from 2020. Then go study masks again and only read stuff from 2020. And you're going to get two opposite ends of the spectrum, what the data suggests. And the fact is now at this point, we know that the politics has completely infected our response to COVID. The numbers are not trustworthy, and there are many other problems with the numbers. It's been reported. I've been following it all year long that there have been people that have gone and looked at death records, like in Florida. I want to say there was one study reported 560 deaths, and only 160 of them were actually COVID. They all had gunshot wounds to the head and car accidents and other things. So there's this artificial inflation of the numbers. We already talked about how they added numbers in April deaths to July numbers to make it as appear as if there was a spike in deaths when there wasn't. The CDC has also reported that the testing tested positive for the antibody test, which means you're immune, and reported it with the PCR test, which supposedly detect the presence of virus. And so you're conflating numbers to get a higher number. That was false. Also, the testing tested positive in numerous states for the common coronavirus that causes the common cold and not COVID-19. And I can go on and on. There are lots of things that have basically made it so these numbers are unintelligible, and that's by design, because people like me are looking at it and sharing with the public that the numbers are not true. And so they've made it virtually impossible to figure out what the accurate numbers now. And again, I want to circle back and say, I'm not saying nothing is happening. There are people out there who are saying nothing is happening. Smart people, educated people around the world who are pointing out things like, you know, they keep track of the statistics about the numbers of people who are admitted to hospitals worldwide for influenza-like illnesses, broken down by age group and things like that. And they're showing that the numbers are the same in 2020 as they are for other years, suggesting that we're not seeing anything different. Now, I don't know. I haven't, you know, been able to research that stuff to know for sure. But smart people have been making these cases. And I can tell you what I'm seeing with my own eyes, that I have yet to see a hospitalization or death with my own eyes that's only COVID. There are people who go to the hospital for other reasons. They're having an appendicitis attack. So they go to the hospital, they get tested, and they test positive for COVID with a test that we already just said has a lot of false positives, and now you just got another COVID case. The real reason they're at the hospital is the appendicitis, and this is going on over and over. I've seen that with my own eyes. The numbers just don't add up, and then you get the CDC telling me that the mortality rate is similar to a typical flu, and it makes me ask, okay, well, then why are my kids not back in school, especially when the data shows my kids are 5 times safer from coronavirus than they are from a typical influenza, which we don't do anything about. So it's time for people to share the information. It's time for people to have difficult conversations. Listen, my wife and I got in some big fight over this. I'm sure everybody out there has. We've all been under a lot of stress for a year, but you need to just look at the actual data that's out there. And listen, the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, they published fake, phony data. They made it up to come out with a study to suggest that the most useful medication was not only ineffective but deadly. Why would you do that? Why would you go through the effort to buy off the new, and that's what I'm saying. That yes, I'm making that accusation. There's no, listen, anybody who's published scientific data knows it's very, very difficult. Getting through peer review is very tough, and it should be. There's no way that stuff got through their peer review without them being in on it. That was not an honest mistake. And, you know, I can't speak to the details around it, but what I can tell you is there's no way, in my opinion, that that got through their peer review process by an accident. That was a commission of the prayer set.
Yeah. So
unbelievable, unbelievable stuff there. Unbelievable.
Well, what we should have done when he made a good point. It would be great if I could have just stopped it and then discussed that point. You know, because there was several key points.
Well, the fact that the New England Journal of Medicine put out false information, had to retract it. They these numbers in July when they said, oh, Arizona and Florida. Well, in Arizona in July, it was like 120 degrees, the biggest lie going. No one even had it.
And I thought it wasn't 74 degrees. It's 47.4 degrees Fahrenheit that the virus can't whatever.
Right, that's what that, you know, when we did, when we
47.4,
right.
Not 74 points. I mean, it's like we got it wrong.
Well, yeah,
but
well,
it's like it's less. There's no way it could have expanded at high temperatures in the summer.
Well, I know. Of course not. And this has been the biggest lie. This has been the biggest tyranny.
But I'm going to tell you one truth. After in L.A., after tonight, you cannot go and eat at a established restaurant.
Yeah, it's
like
takeout
outside.
Only.
Outside.
They don't want
to take out or delivery.
What?
Yeah.
No takeout either?
Just takeout and delivery. That's
takeout.
It.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, takeout. It won't even. Yeah, but, this is horrible.
But you know, this guy said exactly what I've been saying all along. The emperor has no clothes.
No, right.
We are being duped. It is ridiculous. He made so many good points, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, the whole thing's going to come out politically.
We should. Call-in number. Let me do the call-in number in case anybody wants to call in. Because
yeah,
if you want to call
absolutely.
In,
is there any comments in the chat room?
No, I'm gonna double check it. Our calling number is 509-203-4353. That's 509-203-4353. And I will check the chat room right now.
I mean, it's very sad what's going on. I mean,
yeah.
They're doubling down now.
Right.
And, you know, we were just getting used to adapting to what we've got and appreciating that we can eat at a Paris-style outdoor cafe on the sidewalk. No problem. We'll do that. But you heard what a farce it is when you go into a place. You used to get into the place, you have to wear a mask to sit down. As soon as you sit down, you can take your mask off. Then if you want to go to the restroom, you have to put your mask on, go to the restroom. I don't know what you do when you're in the restroom. They never said what you had to do. Oh, I think you wipe yourself with the mask because that makes it more. The virus won't get through that.
Oh, I think after the election goes to the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
I think I absolutely Trump needs to automatically throw some people in jail.
The
COVID thing alone is absolutely barbaric. It is Nazism.
It's the same people counting the votes and making up the statistics.
Right.
It's the same people. It's the same computers and the same mockingbird media that just goes in step with everybody. I mean, there's been so many videos made of taking the mockingbird media message, the same exact phrase, on 100 different stations, and they play it back at the same time as the person stating, you know, all these anti-Trump. It's all been, you know, bad man orange, you know, bad man. And these people are just, it's the same thing. It's lockstep. It's, I don't know what to tell you except we're living now with the results where we're going to have to be a curfew. No one allowed after 10, even though the sheriffs won't go around looking for people.
Right. The sheriff in Southern California, who were never notified and never even discussed, they said, this is absolutely garbage, and we're not going to follow it, and we're not giving out tickets, and we're not going to throw people in jail. And, you know, as long as you're civil and you're nice and you're not disturbing peace, I mean, it's unbelievable. This is a Gestapo tactic by the New World Order, for the New World Order. It's unbelievable. And the propaganda, you know, Bob, in 1979, 1980s, and the 90s, they would have never been able to get away with the garbage and the lies.
Yeah, whoa. That was before China got huge. China has purchased us. They purchased our studios. They purchased our ports. They've purchased everything. And what they've done to New York, of course, 9/11, 2001 was horrible with the, you know, the three buildings and whatever else. And they've done more damage to New York than 9/11.
New York is shut down. 88% of the businesses are closed. They're leaving. They've done more harm. The CCP has done more harm than the perpetrators of 9/11, okay, to New York.
Yeah.
But they've done it to every city. I'm being affected.
Oh, I know.
Now I have to show my papers at if I'm out after 10.
God.
If I want to go, if I just want to go for a walk, I want to, you know, go to a 7-Eleven and grab something to eat or whatever. No, you. So you know what your papers are now. You just show your mask, you put it on, you say thank you, and leave. That's your papers. The mask is your papers now.
Jeez, it's just unbelievable.
Just make sure you go out with a mask. I wear it on my chin all the time, you know, to show I am compliant if I have to be. But if I don't have to be, I'm wearing it below my mouth and my nose.
First of all, I have it in my car. It's only when I walk into a store that I put it on, but I put it below my nose so I can breathe. And I mean, I don't wear it when I exercise. I don't wear it in my house or in my backyard or in my front yard. I don't wear it in my car. I've seen people wearing masks in their cars. I see people. It's like it's unbelievable. It's the kids who go out. You know, your buddies, your high school buddies or junior high buddies, you're going out to like an In-N-Out burger or something, you're going out to the burger stand, and they've got all the kids wearing the mask. I mean, it's just like, you know, when we were growing up, we were kind of like the skateboarders, the surfers, we were a little bit of rebels. We were, you know, there's nothing, they just comply to anything they're told. They don't question authority. They're not questioning anything. It's unbelievable. I'm astounded. I'm going to hate to say this, Bob. I'm going to say something. You know, I grew up with the Beatles and the Beach Boys. We didn't have problems. I grew up with even Frank Sinatra a little bit. You know, I knew about big band music. I knew about jazz. Even knew about classical. Wasn't necessarily a big classical fan, but I understand classical is a very unique component. Absolutely. The kids today, they don't listen to any music. They listen to this rap. It's not music. It's not harmonic. Grew up in video games. It's like a social destruction.
That's why they comply. They read. They learn how to move ahead is by complying and learning what they think learning. So everything that they've been told, that's what they take. And they've accepted Orange Man bad, and meanwhile, ignoring everything good that he's done. And, you know, I have a brother-in-law that thinks Trump is just as bad as Hitler and Mussolini
and
Stalin. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What? I can't be with you ever again until you go to re-education camp. And I want to see your and I want to see your diploma. I want to see his diploma from re-education camp.
Oh, I hear ya. Oh. It's unbelievable.
Like...
It's just unbelievable. I just sit there. Bob, thank God we put this out today. And Nikki, I know Nick is listening probably. I'm just absolutely delighted. I'm going to make sure, Nick, and Nikki and Bob, we can put this thing with Christian W., where to find it. Can
Christian
you put this
w,
out?
Yeah.
Say this one more time, Bob.
Okay, here. Okay, so it's basically on YouTube. If you go to Kirsten W., it's spelled C-I-R-S-T-E-N-W, Kirsten W. Okay, she is great. She's from Singapore, but she's been a actress. She's been involved with the Playboy. She's lived here a lot. She's lived all over. She can't stand California anymore. She's living currently in Florida. In fact, George Webb is going to be having a whole big shindig there on the 2nd.
Right.
With Addie Ads, and they're going to be doing all the book signings. And, you know, everybody's on the same page as far as being a patriot and
truth and freedom, strength and honor.
So it's Kirsten W., and the one that you look for is interview with top Dr. Scott Barbour, B-A-R-B-O-U-R. And then it's also Atlanta, Georgia Fraud Part 2. It was one day ago. I mean, it was just done yesterday. So, you know, here's the thing. It's like things are coming out so fast. When I see something like from 3 weeks ago, I go, I don't want to see that. That they don't even know what happened 3 weeks ago.
No.
You know, things are changing so fast on the hour.
I know.
And it's getting close. There's an apex coming. And according – now, another good guy is – oh, my God – is Michael Jaco, okay?
Yeah.
That's he is good. He is really good. And he just had something out today I was looking at before we went on air, and it was like, whoa, you know. They say that, you know, Guantanamo, and it's not only Guantanamo, folks. This is the big fear I used to have. When I was on the other side, when I was anti-Bush, okay, and anti-Obama, you know, they have black sites in, like, Guatemala. I shouldn't even be saying this is, like, the CIA has many black spots down in Central America, and they're not fun to go to, folks. You don't want to go there. But there's so many people that are going to be arrested that they won't be able to handle them all in Guantanamo, that they're starting to, you know, revamp up these other quote-unquote black sites in Central America that our CIA has established. Okay, now they're going to be used against, you know, terrorists, people who have violated the law and have committed treason. And they're going to be sought after. They are being sought after. The traffic, the airline traffic, Max, going down to Guantanamo and Central America is amazing. I mean, and these aren't people going on vacations, folks. These are planes carrying criminals that we're not going to even hear. And here comes the big thing, which it's like I kind of question. But after knowing about the deep underground military bases around the world and knowing that Dr. Mengele was working on clones back in the 40s, you know, 80 years later, they've made some strides with modern science and computerization. And they are able to clone, okay, now, and create doubles. So that's kind of like the big wild card here. Because, oh, wait a minute. I thought, you know, supposedly Biden is a clone. It's not the same Biden that was, if you take a look at photos from the past till now, he's got different ears. He's got different facial features. It's a different eyebrows. It's a different person. Okay? So I don't know if I'm crazy. Maybe it's 50-50. But I'll take my 50% odds on that he's a fake. And he will not be able to take hard questioning, doing decisions. Why? He hid in the fucking bunker, excuse me, in his bunker. And he's supposed to get more votes than anybody in the history of the United States? BS, folks. Oh. BS.
I know. Look, it's going to go to the Supreme Court. There's so much data and fraud just on the voting machines, and they know when all the votes got switched. They actually can prove it in the data. They have the computer chips that can prove it. So this is going to go to the Supreme Court, and of course, the famous case, the case that people need to know about is called Throckmorton from the 1800s.
Throckmorton. Throckmorton.
Yeah.
I think it was 1870. I don't know. But,
yeah.
When there was – if there's one state that's a fraud.
Yeah.
I think
whole thing's invalid.
The whole thing out.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they can't do it like they did the Brexit plan when they had Brexit, when Britain was exiting NATO.
Yeah.
They had everybody, you sign a ballot, but your ID's on it.
whether it be a thumbprint, a picture of you, whatever, to identify you, maybe the last four digits of your social security, whatever way they identify you on the ballot, you fill it out, you walk, and you put it in a box that's current. And they're going to, once it gets to 100, then they empty the box and you have one from each and they tally it up. 57 Trump, 43 Biden. They mark it on the board. It goes on a computer all around the country. You're going to be able to see the vote as it's happening live. Certified. They don't need any computer. They don't need nothing. They just need people to count and to go and vote in person. Okay, and if you can't do it, then maybe there's something that could be done with, mail-ins. But they should do the mail-ins, so it has to be done. It had to be received on the date of election so they could count the absentee ballots, the same process. They take them, they open them up. You know, they have the ID, they make sure that it's the right ID, the right signature, and then they count them just like everything else.
Right.
And everybody's counting it. They have to do that now.
Well, I know. They took what, how many millions of ballots that had no name, no address, that just had Biden in it? They didn't vote for the dog catcher, the congressman, the senators, any of their propositions in their states or a republic. Yeah, it just Biden. The fraud is beyond words. And also,
but what's worse now, what they're saying, what's worse now, because it's computerized, one of the features of the software is they could, you know what a Dropbox is? It's like where you have a bunch of information and you transfer it to another file, to another thing, without any paper. It's all computerized Dropboxes. You know, it's like no one knows. No one knows what the original, it's just like they just see the end. They see what's out there, but they don't know what the beginning was and what was there at the end. It's just, there's no paper trail.
No.
Uh-oh, we're at the end. I hear music. So.
Okay, guys, hold on. We're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Greg Coonan. We're done with the first hour with Cousin Bob, myself, and Nikki. We heard Kristen.
The Big Kahuna.
The Big Kahuna. We're coming up. But we had Kristen and Scott Barbara talking about COVID. We'll be right back. Hold on. We're going to take a couple-minute break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Hey folks, Karl Marx here. You know, from my smash hit, The Communist Manifesto, the little ditty that changed the world. I crack myself up. But really, you know what else? The joke is on you, because this little manifesto has been used on you. Yeah, the United States of America. And then there was my epic, Das Kapital, a sweeping work of intrigue and...
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss important topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, I'm going to give Greg a call now. So, hello, hello. Okay, Wendy, are you there? I'm going to call Greg. Bob, are you there? Okay, Greg Coonan. Excuse me. Okay. Wendy, are you there? Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm dialing Greg right now. Oh, hello. And let's see, I may have to double check the... I'm calling his Skype number, but maybe I should double check his cell number.
Okay. Or...
I'm dialing Greg right now.
Sounds good.
Loa, but I just don't know what. Let's see. Make sure I'm calling him on the right number because I don't think. Greg, are you there? Greg? Okay, let me try another number. Never know. Never know if it's. He's unavailable on that number, but let's try another number. And we'll try one more time. So, yeah, I just could not believe that interview that we just heard. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, unbelievable.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, Greg, we've got the Big Kahuna now.
Oh, my God, the Big Kahuna. Happy Thanksgiving, Big Kahuna.
Yes, I'm hopeful that we're going to have a happy Thanksgiving, although the Thanksgiving police in California could be at any moment going house to house and making sure that you're wearing all your protective gear and that you don't have too many people in your homes, and just to make sure that they can protect you, because you can't protect yourself. The madness is beginning.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure, Wendy, you're all excited and just can't wait to be one of the first people to get that vaccine.
Oh, my God. I'm scared. Yeah. Never am I sticking a computer chip in my arm from Bill Gates. You know, what? Greg, we had last week, we had Dr. Bill Deagle on, and he has a protocol where it's you take an oral protocol, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's on his website, but I'm going to download and get sent some stuff because – And but his is all nutraceutical. So there's no drugs or no pharmaceutical, no nothing like that. But I would not take a vaccine if you paid me.
Aren't there
Excuse me, aren't there like three different vaccines that are going to come out?
There are multiple vaccines, and of course...
I want them all!
One of the things that they've been downplaying is the fact that they're not sure how long the so-called immunity will last, let alone what the post-effects of the vaccine will be.
Oh, my God.
And of course, you know, the starting place for all this is the fact that, you know, you just have to remember that simple concept. Vitamin deficiencies can be fatal.
Oh, my God.
Now more than ever, you have to remember, vitamins work together in concert, and there are a number of major immune-boosting elements that work together. And, of course, they all just happen to be in Olaloa, but the majors in particular, vitamin A. Start with vitamin A. The number of people that eat eggs and liver has diminished considerably, and people don't get their vitamin A. And you got to be careful because many people get fooled thinking that just beta carotene is vitamin A, when in fact beta carotene has to go through a conversion process. And therefore, there are many people who, simply put, are deficient in vitamin A. Then, of course, you get into your B vitamins. And, of course, B12 in particular, we've talked about that many times. The number of people over the age of 40 that are B12 deficient is remarkable. And, of course, getting B12 these days naturally is not easy. And, of course, most of the B12 you get in the dietary supplement world is toxic and doesn't work very well. But it's frustrating because, God forbid, you start talking like this on social media and our protectors are very nervous about anybody making any of these kinds of statements on places, you know, on social media. So, mm-hmm. You know, people are stuck. People are really stuck. They don't know where to turn. And there's a lot of bad information out there. But yet the good news is, that, you know, I'm very hopeful. Fact is that people are demanding this information and people are sharing this kind of information about gaining access to nutrient support for survival now more than ever.
Yeah, there are a lot of sources. Yours is about amongst the best.
One of the best, absolutely.
I just I love the flavor, and I love when I mix it up and when I drink it, and then I feel the effects. I feel a little bit more energized.
Well, are we not living in extraordinary times? The entire world is being shut down. The world economy is being destroyed. People's lives have been turned upside down, and they're not permitting us to be able to deal with just the nuts and bolts of fundamental immunity to be able to protect people and give people every opportunity to protect themselves. I mean, I feel like I've woken up into some weird 1984. Food is not going to help. Nutrition is not going to help. The only thing that will help is the powers of the state and these vaccines that don't exist and that have not been delivered. It's incredible. It's incredible to me. And in fact, they've got so many people that are, you know, marching to their tune.
Lockstep, Rockefeller Foundation, 2010.
Yeah,
and that's where when everybody's in lockstep, that's when the deep state can really, you know, start making their gains. I mean, people losing their properties, and you know, the state's going to take it over. So,
well, I think people have lost sight of freedom.
Oh, I agree.
And what it means to be free, and sometimes the fact that you know, we've got to be loud, and we've got to make it clear to people that we are demanding our freedom. And thank God we have a constitution, but it seems like these people are overstepping the bounds of the constitution and trying to take over our lives.
Oh, God.
It's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. Meanwhile,
what to do? I don't think people don't know what to do. I saw some people on the street with their Trump flags and their American flags. And I said, well, what are we supposed to do? And they said, well, show up with the flag. And I said, no, what are we supposed to do as a country? What are we supposed to do to save our country? I mean, what are, you know, we talk about it, but what are we supposed to do? That's what I'm saying.
We just take care of ourselves and make our souls recognize that this is just a temporary gig and a physical 3D body. And there's a whole universe out there that's eons, billions of years
before us, and there'll be billions of years beyond when our physical, but our spiritual goes on. And that's what we got to recognize and start practicing and start realizing that there are intergalactic entities and energies that are emitting good vibes and information to the people who are ready to turn on that station. I mean, you have a whole dial and a radio, you know, you want one station. You have to hone in on it and listen to that and forget everything else.
Well, it's very frustrating.
Turn off your mainstream media.
You know, it's so frustrating because at the same time that this is going on, they have created the perfect division of people. And I think that, you know, logical, you know, thinking people want to be able to share ideas and discuss things, even if we disagree. And in large measure, that ability to have that dialogue has been lost. And there's a group of people on one side in particular who say, if you don't agree with me, you're not a worthy person. And we won't even discuss the matter. And they're not open to have any discussion. It's very, very frustrating to see. These are certainly interesting times, and it's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this, because there seems to be so much that's in the background and so many things that aren't getting into the general media about manipulations of the government and actors who are in positions of power that are trying to, you know, set up their own agenda, who have been fighting the president. And there are so many aspects of this which I think a lot of people are troubled about, because they just don't know how bad it is. And I'm very hopeful that some of these things that are being discussed right now with regards to the election matters, I'm very hopeful that some of this is going to come out and the American people will see how much manipulation is there. And
well, that's what Release the Kraken's all about.
Yeah,
I agree.
This will be very interesting to see, because I think that this could, in one respect, if the truth comes out and if materials come out that show that clearly there's been manipulation. I just heard a report recently about the server that was picked up in Germany, and
right.
There's supposedly some incredible information and evidence that's on that server. And I'm just very hopeful that these facts are going to come out in court, where they can't be hidden, they can't be covered up, and that the American people are going to be able to see it. Because, you know, this country is in real trouble. And
well, we know Anthony Weiner's laptop, Anthony Weiner's laptop and Hunter Biden's laptop, you know, they're talked about for 1 or 2 days and then it's done. And nobody knows about it.
Well, let's remember that there are something like 250 affidavits that are sworn testimony under penalty of perjury.
That's
that
right.
That have been signed. Whereas with regards to Hunter Biden and some of these issues that people are, you know, titillated by and are questioning, none of those questions have been answered under penalty of perjury. So,
right.
you know, we're just observers here watching and getting bits and pieces of this. But certainly it is ironic that you go back a few years and you hear that the Democrats were very, very troubled about electronic voting machines. And there have been countless examples of manipulation. I mean, you just go onto YouTube and you can see it at major universities. They've taken these machines. They've been able to manipulate the machines, and they've been able to show clearly that they can be played with. There's been great concern going back years and years and years about this kind of manipulation. So if this is the case, this could be tremendous for civilization. People will actually see that this kind of stuff is real, it is happening, and that there are forces out there that are trying to manipulate all of us, thinking one way or another. And I just think that it's important. People need to keep an open mind, and regardless of what the outcome is, the fact is we all got to get along. You know, that was kind of the foundation of the American spirit. Of course, for me, my bias happens to be with freedom and with access to, supplements and quality health care and orthomolecular preventive nutritional, you know, molecular therapy. And it's frustrating to me that there are so many forces in the political machinery, in the political apparatus, that are, you know, clearly demonstrating that they don't want you to have freedom and access to this information. They don't want you to have the ability to discuss natural alternatives and natural support. Even if it's biochemically correct, they don't want you to share this information. And they've tried to put, you know, they've made it so it's virtually impossible. If you're a medical doctor, especially in the state of California, if you do anything outside the realm of what's considered conventional therapy, you are potentially at risk to losing your license. So they control it by the medical licensing, in California through the guild. And they're very protective of that. If you're a dietary supplement maker who's been around the preventive medicine medical field the way I have, they don't want you to make you have to be very, very careful about these so-called claims that you're making. You can make structure function claims, but God forbid you ever talk anything about with regards to disease, even though there are thousands upon thousands of studies related to all sorts of aspects of the human condition and medical disease with relation to nutrient therapy. So for me, I mean, I am shocked that here it is, roughly 50 years after my father conducted his first medical experiments where he was doing blood analysis of his patients and checking for vitamins and minerals and amino acids. And here it is, 50, 60 years later, after we've already shown that people are deficient, that there is biochemical individuality. I can't believe we are still at the point where we are having to actually have a debate about this, and that there are forces out there that are basically trying to prevent the American people from gaining access to this information and to this therapy, which will save their lives, lower the cost of healthcare, and improve the overall quality of life for people. And again, for me, it's just, this is about freedom. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
I mean,
but I remember.
Words.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go first.
No, I was just thinking. You know, when I became a young adult, I was reading Adele Davis. That was my first introduction into, you know, healthy natural eating or whatever. And then, things were going along, and I had suffered a tumor, and I heard about Chaparral. I took the Chaparral, and the tumor disappeared. And then I noticed it took Chaparral off the market, and they said that it was all the Chaparral was contaminated with lead. Well, it's a blood purifier. And then if you even smell it, whatever. My point being that I just thought we should have been evolving, and we should, in our knowledge. About all these health things. And, you know, like Greg says, they're squashing it. They're stopping us. I mean, and it's the same thing with education. And people used to strive to become educated. And now it's like not cool. Nobody, we're not reading books. The education that they're talking about is indoctrination for our children. But I just would have thought that as a society, we would have evolved so much more. And I'm talking about not just certain individuals, but I'm talking about it used to be a socially accepted thing that you would strive to be better. I'm not getting
well,
that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot to know. And, where I'm coming from, of course, is being surrounded by one of the founders of the orthomolecular medical movement, having a medical clinic in San Francisco that's been primarily focused on vascular disease and cancer, and of course all the unusual oddball cases from chronic fatigue to even schizophrenia that have gone through our practice over the years. And the reality is, it's a very complex system. The human body and the biochemical pathways of the human body are very complex, and you almost have to be a supercomputer to be able to function in that environment and to work with someone to optimize their biochemistry, especially if they are showing symptoms and having problems with their overall health. And so in the old days, people used to actually read. And of course, in the last, I'd say 20 years, the attention span has gone down, has gotten smaller and smaller. And people are really only going after right now headlines. So you see blog posts that are very, very limited that tell you very, very little. And that's fine. At least it can introduce you to these things. But the reality is, if you're going to get somebody who's a quality physician who's really going to get to know you, there's a lot of material he's going to have to gather to be able to really address your needs. And that's really what this is all about. The orthomolecular approach is actually about identifying what are your individual biochemical needs, where are you falling short, and what are some of the risks and vulnerabilities that you have. And what's really frustrating, in the last 10 years or so, we have seen the dietary supplement industry has almost entirely been taken over by major pharmaceutical companies. Big Pharma has taken over and bought most of the major brands. A number of multinational companies have also bought the other brands. And then you've got a few scattered in there that are just owned by venture capital firms. And here's the big truth about the vitamin industry. You know, there are those people who say that vitamins work, and then there are those who say they don't. And in many respects, they are both right. Unfortunately, from the manufacturing side and the marketing side, most of the vitamins that are made today are pretty much empty. They bank on the fact that nobody can read a label, especially these days. And they can't tell one product.
Hello?
Almost nothing in their product. I mean, the most famous brands today that are owned by these large companies, if you take a look at their supplement facts, especially these expensive so-called food-based vitamins, if you take a look at them, you'll find that they don't have much more than, say, a pharmacy multivitamin product, you know, the big brands that everybody knows when you walk into one of the big drug stores. And if you take a look at it and just add up the volume of nutrients that are in there, you'll find that they're almost the same, except the drugstore vitamin is about an $8 product, and the food-based hoity-toity vitamin product is selling for about $55. And neither of those products gives you very much. And of course, they're usually missing about 20 of the ingredients that Olaloa is providing. The exciting thing about Olaloa is I wanted to provide a product that was one and done. You could literally just take this one product, mix it with a half a glass of water, bypass traditional digestive issues with vitamins, and minimize, you know, you don't have to take a handful of vitamin pills. Because really, to get anything meaningful out of vitamins, you got to take about a dozen vitamin pills. So in our product, we're providing 36 vitamins, minerals, amino acids, digestives, electrolytes, and osmolytic support. You're getting a gram of betaine and a gram of glycine. To do that with food is roughly 3 pounds of beets. If you had to eat, if you wanted to get a gram of betaine and a gram of glycine, you'd have to eat about 3 pounds of beets. And then we're also giving you a gram of vitamin C, which becomes a buffered vitamin C as soon as it complexes. You're also getting all your B vitamins. You're getting the most difficult form of vitamin B12 to get, which is the most available form of vitamin B12, called hydroxycobalamin. And then, of course, you're getting key minerals. And ultimately, you're getting a product that's supporting the most important biochemical process in the human body, what we refer to as methylation and methyltransferase. We're supporting the production of hundreds of critical products that are the foundation for heart function, circulation, digestion, detoxification, immunity, brain function, and energy regulation of every cell in your body. And that's what's so exciting about what we're trying to do. And it's frustrating because so many of these products that people hear about are nothing more than some oxidized greens, you know, fruits and vegetables that have almost no nutritional value. And then they'll sprinkle in a few herbs because they think it sounds sexy. But in reality, you got to be very careful with herbs because you know, they can be very potent and they can also be very toxic. And part of their effect is the fact that they can have a toxic effect. But they're not designed to be used every single day. And if you're talking about taking supplements, you want something that's going to go way beyond food and is going to provide you those micronutrients that are so precious and are so difficult to get. The reality is, you know, food-based vitamins and food are, you know, food, if you want to get food-based vitamins, eat real food and let your body go through that process. It recognizes it, and as opposed to these oxidized products that are, you know, just pulverized and manipulated that provide very little nutritional support. But that's where good food comes in. Otherwise, if you want to get a really quality multivitamin and a multi-mineral and a multi-amino acid, you've got this great opportunity with Olaloa that mixes with water, can be taken with or without food on an empty stomach, and you'll feel the difference. I mean, that's the most powerful thing. So certainly for all your listeners, if they're interested, use the coupon code REVOLUTION35. Go to our website at either olaloa.com or drinkyourvitamins.com, and they can save 35%. Try the product, and you'll see you're getting something that is unparalleled. There has never been a product like Olaloa. Up until we came along, the only option available was vitamin C and sugar, and we completely revolutionized the space.
Wow.
I hope that puts it into perspective. I hate to be so long-winded, but sometimes I can't help myself.
No, I think you did a great job. I love listening to you, Greg, because, that's why we have you on. I mean, the drinkyourvitamins.com, I take Olaloa. I swear by it. I mean, if I take it every day, I can go a few more hours of doing all kinds of errands. And, you know, Greg, I live in California, Southern Cal. I know you live up north, but they spray us pretty bad in Southern California with the chem. And so, like, a couple of days last week, Greg, there was so much chem in the air by 12 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or, you know, noontime, that it blocked out. There was so much chem in the air, it blocked out the sun. And, you know, I can't even make it up. I just can't even make it up. And the worst thing about this is, Greg, is I have a little bit of a cough, not like a cough from my chest, but a cough from my back and my throat. And it's funny because, you know, you never used to worry about if you had to just clear your throat or something, or you sneeze, because sometimes you do sneeze. It's a natural thing, like you get the hiccups or something. People are looking at you like you're a criminal, like, dude, I just had a sneeze because, you know, it's a little windy outside or a breeze and you just sneezed. I mean, but people think it's almost a crime to sneeze, or you're clearing your throat because you're coughing, or I have a frog in my throat, not because I'm sick, but because of all the chem in the air.
Well, there's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of insecurity right now and anxiety because people feel like they're being told there's nothing you can do, when in fact, there's plenty that you can do. I can't stress this enough. Most people will find that they have encumbrances to their biochemistry. Most people will find, as we have found over the last 50 years of checking patients' blood and getting the data, most people are nutrient deficient. Anxiety adds to that. Stress adds to that. The fact is, you know, we have to be aware of a number of systems in our body that are responsible for detoxifying. That's why methylation, of course, is more important now than ever before. Your body has to be able to produce the master antioxidant of the body, glutathione. And if you're not producing glutathione, you're in a whole lot of hurt, a lot of trouble. And these are people who are very chemical sensitive. They get into an environment that's toxic, and boy, they don't feel well. They collapse. Our product produces intracellular glutathione and protects you from that. And so I think more than ever now, people, I think, have to be conscious and be aware of the fact that our bodies are miraculous. They have the ability to fend off. We have the ability to deal with exposures. But if you're nutrient deficient it's going to be a lot harder for you. If you have problems with blood circulation, and in particular, if you have clotting risk factors that are elevated, you're going to be headed for trouble in the future. And it's frustrating for me because all of this seems so apparent. It's so obvious. And what's shocking is that most physicians are, well, the vast majority of physicians barely have enough time to actually see and work with the patient. I was just reading a report that the average physician these days who's in a major medical institution has to see somewhere in the neighborhood of about 60 patients a day. So the amount of time that you can spend with someone is nearly impossible. You know, you can barely get an understanding of what they're going through. And the majority of the blood work that these docs are going through is very limited. It's the classic, you know, blood count, chem panel, urinalysis, and that's about it. And that's really just saying, are you really damaged? Is there something significantly wrong where we can identify you got a virus, you're fighting something really big, your white blood cells are going crazy, you know? But they don't do the fundamentals that you would think that just makes sense. Are you malnourished? You know, get a baseline, see how you're doing. You know, they don't check for these kinds of things. And so what happens is modern medicine is poised to really only be there in the event of a crisis. You have a heart attack, you have a stroke, you know, those kinds of events. Whereas what we're trying to do in the orthomolecular approach, it's trying to understand who are you biochemically. We identify your biochemical individuality, and we do this through an understanding of orthomolecular laboratory diagnosis that my father, you know, developed over the years based on nutrition, pollution, and stress. So step number one, most people, if you ask them how they're doing with their overall nutrient levels, they can't tell you. They've never once in their lifetime ever done a vitamin panel. And that's just the most basic of the basic. Are you malnourished? I mean, it's pretty obvious what can happen. Of course, as I said at the opening, nutrient deficiency can be fatal. But prior to being fatal, you can run into a whole host of problems, chronic illness, inflammation, and a lot of other problems. So first step one, we want to find out what's your level of malnutrition. Because a lot of people don't eat very well in this country. And they're ridiculously, you know, getting low nutrient values. Then we want to find out if you're toxic. So, of course, my dad started the hair test in 1968, which is a fine measurement tool to find out if you've had accumulative exposure. We also follow that up with both blood and urine if it's constant ongoing exposure to make sure that you're protected. But we also are assessing and finding out about systems in the body. You know, people, for example, who have a weak cholinesterase factor, they get into a agricultural environment in the wine country. We've had patients who get into the wine country. They get up there and all of a sudden they're passed out. They're dizzy. They're not feeling well. They can't detoxify these pesticides. And so we find out what your ability is to detoxify and whether or not you've had exposure to toxins, heavy metals in particular. And then, of course, the real focus of our work to identify who you are and what's going on with you is really in terms of the stressors. So we're looking at hormone stress and what's going on with hormone function. We're looking at coagulation, in particular clotting factors. And really that to me is really the focal point, because let's face it, most people die from heart attacks in the United States and vascular disease. And so we actually identify whether or not you have a propensity to clot. So we check the majors, homocysteine, fibrinogen, lipoprotein A, factors 2, factors 5, small dense LDL, all these components that can cause blood to start to get very, very thick. And then lastly, we put it all together in terms of how are you methylating? And we check all the major compounds of the methylation pathway. Anybody who wants to learn about methylation, we have a great little booklet on our website. Go to the homepage, you click on methylation, you can read the booklet, you can kind of get an understanding, you can learn about the keys like homocysteine, methionine, sarcosine, glutathione, cysteine, You can learn about the concept of DNA methylation. All that is easy to understand on our website. There's also a video there. And we actually get down and find out, we get into the cells, we find out what is going on with your chemistry and that pathway. So we go way beyond just the genetics. You know, some people are running genetics, they're getting a few mutations, they're trying to base their whole health on a few genetic mutations, which is an absurdity, because the genes don't tell you how your body's adapting to the mutation. Many people have mutations and they're perfectly fine. They have no problem at all. In fact, they're some of the healthiest people you will ever meet. But we can actually go a little deeper and we can find out how your body has potential blockade in some of these major areas. And at the end of it, we have a much more comprehensive understanding as to who you are. And it's based on the years and years of doing that kind of laboratory assessment, where we poured over thousands of patients and worked with thousands of patients over the years, that ultimately led my father to develop the Ololoa formula. And I'm proud to say that here it is almost 22 years later, and we have the most advanced supplement formulation I think that's ever been created. There is nothing else like it. And it certainly, it makes it a joy. There are many people I talk to who just say they cannot handle vitamin pills. And so it's such a joy to hear from people who say that, you know, I don't really know much about nutrition, health. I never, you know, could take vitamins, but I take your product and I feel better. I have greater mental clarity. I have, you know, I'm able to get things done. My endurance has gone up and I just feel overall I have a better quality of life. And that to me is so exciting. I didn't lose you guys, did I?
No, I'm still listening.
Mute, and it takes a while for us to unmute. But okay, I take the B12 every day because, well, we started. I heard your speech about methylation before, and then my father had pernicious anemia, so he had to take B. So I thought, well, it's a good thing to take it. But I think it helps with my energy level. I mean, I take it every day, so. It's not like I felt good. I do the drink your vitamins, but those I tend, sometimes I don't take them in the morning because they're so sweet or they feel that they're sweet. It is a natural sugar, right? Or, I mean, I feel like I need to take them more like noon.
It's the equivalent of one bite of a pear, and it makes it possible for you to be able to take all those nutrients and get all the, you are literally replacing over a dozen of the largest vitamin pills you could possibly take. And actually, in some respects, even more. At one point, we did an analysis of one of the leading food-based vitamin products, and you would have to take up to 80 of their pills to equal one of our packets. And of course, you know, some of the thought that went into this, you know, it's very interesting. When you look at things like vitamin C, vitamin C is a very powerful metal chelator. It'll pull lead out, but it will also pull out your copper. It can remove copper from the cells, and that's important right now because copper is also very powerful in its immune function. In fact, I recently put up a brief little piece that talked about the relationship between homocysteine as a marker for people who are at risk for negative outcomes from COVID. And you know, homocysteine, the interesting thing there is that homocysteine will also pull copper right out of your cells and make you immune deficient. So Ololoa takes that into consideration, in particular, the role of copper and vitamin C. So we're providing trace copper because of the impact that vitamin C has on copper. And of course, it's important, especially for people who are anemic. Copper is also essential for iron to work. Okay? So these things are all interrelated. Copper and zinc, interrelated. They all have a relationship. Vitamin C and copper work, you know, together. So those are some of the subtleties in our product that we've actually provided. The nice thing about our product with regards to the sugar is we're using fruit sugar. And then the exciting thing about fruit sugar, especially low dose, as I say, we've got the equivalent of one bite of a pear. Number one, safe for diabetics. Number two, it does not induce an insulin push. That's very, very important. Number three, fructose is in low dose is absorbed very rapidly, and it's converted into usable energy immediately. So the metabolism of fructose is very, very rapid. It has no impact on the glycemic index. So that's also very, very exciting. We've dealt with many, many patients who are very sensitive, who have gastrointestinal problems and dysbiosis, and oftentimes they find that many of their digestive problems are cleared up once they start using Olaloa and once they start getting their biochemistry aligned properly. In fact, it's interesting, in the methylation world, the first organ of the body that fails when you're not methylating well is your pancreas. And the pancreas, a lot of people don't know this, but the pancreas puts out a quart of bicarbonate every single day. So, you know, digestion, very complex. Starts off with mastication of the food, enzyme release. You've got a hydrochloric acid bath. You got to remember, when it comes to, you know, nutrients, your body's not bringing asparagus to your cell, not bringing cauliflower to the cell. It's bringing an isolated nutrient. And that those foods have to be processed and go through an entire process of digestion to be able to break out those key components and deliver those isolated nutrients to the cells in a timely manner. And then, of course, you've got gastrin and secretin. This is all part of the whole digestive process. And then hopefully that bolus, that boost of bicarbonate that's being pushed out by the pancreas is going to settle the stomach. But for a lot of people, they actually have another system running in the stomach. The backup acidifier of the stomach is histamine. And the means by which we turn off histamine in the stomach is through the production of a substance called methylhistamine. So there you are again. See, we're talking methylation, methylhistamine. For many of these people that are having digestive problems, what you really have is weak pancreatic function, an underperforming methylation cycle. And this is really, in many respects, is what's responsible for the malabsorption, the digestive problems, the bilious reflux, GERD. All those things are happening because, in large measure, they don't methylate very well. And oftentimes you'll find these people have significant nutrient deficiencies. And in particular, it gets into B12. B12 is one of the highlights. People who run low B12 are oftentimes high likely candidates for having methylation problems. And of course, these same people, when their B12 isn't working very well, they oftentimes are at risk for high homocysteine. And of course, homocysteine can be a major, major killer. I certainly, everybody who's listening, if you have a family member or a family history of vascular disease in your family history, it's worth reading the article on our website at drinkyourvitamins.com. It's called Homocysteine, the Key to Heart Disease, Stroke, and Cancer. I mean, I cannot stress this enough. This understanding of blood circulation and blood coagulation and clotting factors and identifying these things is life-changing. This changed my dad's entire medical practice. In the 1960s, you know, he was the first one to do vitamin testing and integrate vitamin testing and vitamin treatment in working with medical patients. In 1968, he was really the first one who did heavy metal testing and started the hair test. In the 70s, he was one of the first people to do coenzyme Q10 therapy and had radically great success with that. But his big epiphany, I think the greatest moment in my dad's career, came in the 1980s when he realized it's not just what you put in your mouth and what you get in your stomach. Ultimately, it's all about what you can deliver to the cells. And ultimately, what is nutrition but circulation? And circulation is nutrition. If you block blood circulation, I'm not talking about cutting it all off. I'm saying just lower blood circulation. By lowering blood flow, you are lowering nutrient delivery to the cells. And ultimately, this can lead to major disease, heart disease, stroke, cancer, blood vessel damage. Once we started checking patients for clotting factors, it changed my dad's entire medical career. It explained why these patients were suffering from premature aging, chronic illness, and really, unfortunately, for many of these people who don't find someone like my dad, premature death. And it's clear as day. You put these people on a spreadsheet, those with the most clotting activity at the top of the list, those with normal blood viscosity at the bottom, everyone at the top of the list has one thing in common. These are chronically ill people that are basically all disabled. These are you know, chronic medical patients. And you can see it clearly when you run the laboratory. And of course, that's what got us into methylation, because homocysteine, we saw it was so common. It's so commonplace because it's unavoidable. People must get the amino acid methionine. If humans do not get methionine, we die. And when you consume foods that have methionine, it raises homocysteine. It's obligatory. And many of the people who have problems with this have an inability to detoxify their homocysteine, which puts them at huge risk for major disease. And this is why Olaloa was made, because Olaloa will lower homocysteine, toxic homocysteine. It will lower the homocysteine even when vitamins B12 and folate fail. And that is really, in a nutshell, the miracle of Olaloa and what we've done at drinkyourvitamins.com. We have made it so easy for people. And in fact, I tell people, you want to find out if you're methylating well, take an Olaloa. And if you feel a significant difference, especially at your low point in the day, chances are better than not, you got some methylation issues. I mean, it's incredible. We'll do shows. We'll share product with people at shows. And people will come back and say, I'm very cynical. I don't believe in vitamins. I had your product. I cannot believe how I feel afterwards. People are walking around some of these giant shows at Anaheim Convention Center and shows that we're doing, and it's absolutely incredible. And we hear it. We've been hearing that for 22 years. I mean, time in and time out, people come back to us and say, I can't believe it. I didn't want to try your product. I don't believe in vitamins. I mean, you know, and they have been shocked at how they respond. So, you know, it's exciting. And certainly, like
well,
I said,
You have made it easy. I know I take my B12 and then drink the vitamins, and then basically I'm like, I'm covered for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really true.
And that's the way vitamins should work. You know, the problem is vitamin companies don't really want you to have it all in one. You know, they actually want you to buy numerous products, and they constantly have you moving from this great ingredient to that great ingredient. But, you know, vitamins work together. And that's why, you know, all multis are not the same. Olaloa is providing vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and is literally replacing a dozen vitamin pills in one. And it's convenience. It's really a lifestyle experience. People try our product and they're just shocked at how easy it is, and the fact that they feel the difference. More often than not, I hear from people that say, look, I've been taking multivitamins for years. I've never felt a thing when I take a multivitamin. Whereas, like I say, people try our product and they come back and they go, wow, it's the first time I've ever taken a multivitamin and I feel completely refreshed and feel like a different person. I mean, that's why Mike Adams wrote me up at Natural News. I mean, he wrote a book, and he put me in his book because he saw life-changing transformations with people. He would give them our product, and he would say 45 minutes later, they looked like different people. They were in better health. You could clearly see it. And certainly I've had remarkable success with people who are really in rough shape, who have been transformed using Olaloa. And of course that's very exciting for me.
Well, I know one thing. I'm as soon as I get off the show with you, I'm going to call you up and I'm going to order. I'm going to order right now because I've been wanting to do this for a couple of weeks and I'm just going to do it. So that's it. I'm done. I'm going to put, because you know what? I've got a couple of days before Thanksgiving. I've got then you know, all the stuff going on. The chemtrails above my head. And my everyday life, Greg, you know, and, you know, it's just so funny. I mean, even when you got to go out and do some yard work, which is no problem, but I've got chem above me. So You know, I, and when I take your stuff, I just, I'm able to get the errands done. I'm able to do the yard work. I'm able to do extra things that people have to do every day. And, you know, it's just so, it's, to me, it's like a no brainer. And, you know, I just, I love it. And so it's the best. And that's why
well,
I use
certainly.
It.
We appreciate that. And I have to tell you, right now, things are a little up in the air. I mean, we, you know, as humanity goes, we seem to be dealing with, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now. And I just think it's a good idea that we all have to be kind of vigilant and conscious of our surroundings and some of the things that, you know, possibly we're facing. Gaining access to quality food and essentials. You know, I don't want to be a doom and gloomer, but I just think it behooves all of us to be a little bit more proactive. I certainly think that of all the things you can do, the footprint of our 4-inch by 4-inch box that holds 30 packets in it is a sensible thing to have, so that, you know, in the event that, you know, there are some problems that you can't get to the grocery store or supplies are running low, it's nice to know that you can maintain yourself on limited input, and that Olaloa can fill those gaps. So, I mean, I it's interesting. I've been receiving a lot of calls from preppers and people who are just a little nervous, people who are living out in the countryside and who just want to have access and have some materials. And so the nice thing about Olaloa, it's lightweight. It's the perfect thing to take with you. I mean, I have it in my go bags. I keep them in the car wherever I am. There's always Olaloa there. Because you never know. I mean, you know, here in San Francisco, you never know. 3 days, we could have 3 days where we can't go to stores. There could be, you know, a whole host of things, whether it be, you know, civil out, you know, unrest or earthquakes. You know, I mean, the reality is it's 2020 and anything is possible at this point. So I'm just cautioning people and letting them know it's a good idea, you know, to have resources like Olaloa can make a huge, huge difference. As our website too. Our website, you know, is a fascinating place because it has a number of my dad's articles on a whole host of things. It's not just about our product. It's about much of my dad's work in preventive medicine. And in fact, one of the things I'm working on right now, you know, we're at the 40th anniversary of my dad's original book. That really, it's amazing. It's as current today as it was in 1980. My dad wrote the book, Mega Nutrition. And Mega Nutrition and Mega Nutrition for Women are fantastic books. I'm in the process of digitizing them, and I plan to make them available for people so that they can actually gain access to this information, because people need to have a quality source of information on just the basics and how to take care of themselves. And Mega Nutrition stands the test of time as one of the greatest books ever written in the field of nutrition. To this day, it's still being sold on Amazon. And so I'm going to make it available as a digital product on our website. But we've got a lot of interesting articles, like the article on homocysteine, the key to heart disease, stroke, and cancer that's on our website. And some of my dad's lectures, I've taken some of his lectures. I've got video, for example, of my dad's work in autism, for example, that talks about methylation and homocysteine in that space. But that impacts all of us.
Is that part of leaky gut, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. All of this together. You know, like I say, whenever you're thinking digestion in particular, you have to think about methylation first. You've got to find out whether or not you have impact and impingement on the pancreas to start with. People are going out. You know, it's funny. A lot of people will run out. They're having digestive problems, and then you start getting all these probiotics. And all that happens is they wind up getting very gassy, and they're not addressing the real issues. You know, it's interesting. Vegetarians, I get a lot of vegetarians and vegans who have moved away. They had to move away from animal proteins because they had so much, you know, bowel intolerance and difficulty dealing with animal proteins. And it's interesting because you ask them, well, do you eat sulfur vegetables? And many of them will say no, because if they eat sulfur vegetables, the Brussels sprouts, the cauliflower, the broccoli, the cabbage, they wind up getting very, very gassy. And that is clearly, they've got a methionine problem. They've got a pancreatic problem. And so there, you have to be very careful because, like I say, methionine is essential. If you don't get it, you die. And in the plant world, to get methionine, you got to eat your, you know, cruciferous vegetables and your sulfur-bearing vegetables. And so it's very interesting. You start doing a little history on these people, and you find out, yeah, this is somewhere I'm having the problem. And it's amazing. Oftentimes they go, you know, I've seen vegetarians, for example, who get very B12 deficient, oftentimes not realizing that the vegan diet can be low B12, and they're not making any B12 with bacterial, you know. And so they go into a psychosis. You know, this is very common. In fact, the interesting thing, megavitamin therapy and my dad's original work actually was with seriously damaged people in the realm of schizophrenia. And it was remarkable. In the 1960s, my dad started providing nutrients to these people. And within a short period of time, they were transformed. I mean, we're talking, you know, cases of people who were at mental hospitals, you know, several months later, leaving mental hospitals and living productive lives.
All wow, that's terrific.
They were,
hey,
wow.
Hey, Greg, we've got 1 minute left, so let's give out your contact information.
Absolutely.
Okay, drink your vitamins, plural, drinkyourvitamins.com. Go to our website. If you want to get some Ola Loa, we're making deals. Use the coupon code REVOLUTION35, and you'll save 35%. If you have questions, you can always give us a call at 800-800-9550. We're here to help people and to assist them any way we can. I'm dedicated to helping people and making their lives better. And that's what Ola Loa stands for. A happy, healthy life. That's what we're all about.
Thank you so much, Greg. This has been absolutely wonderful. Just unreal. I thank you so much for this pre-Thanksgiving. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, I wish everyone a great Thanksgiving and lots of aloha.
You're the best.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for the healthy living. I'm taking my B12 every day and drink your vitamins.
Drinkyourvitamins.com. Drinkyourvitamins.com.
Listening to Revolution.